Wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up, hands up, hands up, all believers, take up your cross and carry it on.
Following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study in the Book of Romans, titled Wake Up. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get started.
Romans 4. So today we are talking all about what? Faith. Good. You win the prize. You get to take the prize home. I think it's interesting how we put faith in people so easily. Like, you might not be a very trusting person, but when you get into an airplane, you have a little bit of faith, right? It doesn't matter if you're flying to Ontario, California, or you're flying all the way to Africa, you're gonna trust that you're gonna get there. Do you have a clue who is flying that plane? Not a clue. Not a name, not a face, not a blood alcohol content. Right? I mean, honestly, we have faith in them, that they're going to get us to where they're going, that they know what all those buttons and levers and things do. Who else do we put faith in? I was thinking about how I put faith in my bank teller to take my money and put it where I said I wanted it and not in their back pocket. Of course, they get in trouble from that, but they could get away and nobody would ever find them with my money. Like, I have a ton of money for them to put in, but cruise captains, has anybody been on a cruise? You're way braver than I am. That is not on my bucket list. Well, that would be my last cruise because that scares me. You know, one I thought was interesting is that we trust that the organic sticker on our fruit is not lying to us. Oh, these are totally organic. I think they grew them just up the road. They're local and everything. Oh, we don't really know. We're not so sure. And are you the kind of person who sends your food back when it's not right? You have a lot of faith that that food's coming back without an extra ingredient, right? But why can it be so hard for us to put our faith in God? We put faith in people we've never even met before. But yet sometimes we have a hard time having faith in God. Has anybody ever been there? We just kind of forget for a minute that he's the God who created us, the God who loves us and has a plan for us. So in chapter 4 of Romans, we're encouraged again seeing Abraham. We see him all throughout the scriptures, right? He's the father of faith. God gave him this promise that we get to enjoy, right? And he really is an example for us to follow. But I want to talk about why. What did Abe do? I keep calling him Abe because I'm lazy. We know he was a man of great faith, right? We know a lot of what he did. What are some things that he did? Go ahead, you can talk to me. I'll allow it. Just kidding. What did he do? Moved when God told him to? Left his homeland? What else? Was getting ready to. Walked up a mountain prepared with just a knife and his son. Yes. What else did God do for him and his wife? Have a baby. Were they supposed to be having babies at that time? No. I'm sure Abraham was fine with that. But we know that God's promise was given to him before the law, right? So we know that Abraham was living a pretty good life before that, right? Because it says that he did good deeds. He did good. He did what was right in the sight of God, even though he didn't have the law to measure it up against, right? Like we do. Okay, it's right here in verse 2. Read verse 2 with me. I'm reading in the New Living Translation. So if yours is a little different, maybe just listen so it's not quite as distracting. So I'm going to start in verse 1. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What were his experiences concerning this question of being saved by faith? Was it because of his good deeds that God accepted him? If so, he would have had something to boast about. So we read there, he did some really great things. So if that's what his measurement was, he would have had a lot to boast about. But from God's point of view, Abraham had no basis at all for pride. For the scripture tells us, Abraham believed God, so God declared him righteous. So we read here, all those things that Abraham did that were good didn't really matter. Does that make anybody stop for a second? Like, what do you mean it doesn't matter? Well, it doesn't matter the deeds. What matters is why he did the deeds. Do you follow me? Where the deeds came from, okay? So, our lives as Christians should be based and rooted in this faith, this same faith that Abraham had. Without faith, why would we ever give our lives to God? Why would we ever entrust him and do things that people think are crazy? You have had to do at least one thing in your life that's crazy, right? That you wouldn't do if you didn't follow God, right? Right. You have. It's okay. You guys are just tired. But faith is what shows that we believe that God is bigger and that he's capable and that he has our whole life mapped out for us, right? Even if we don't understand it at the moment. Hebrews 11:1 says, this is our definition of faith. Faith is, and this is again the New Living, faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. It's not things that we're never going to see. It's things that we don't see yet. So I'm going to repeat that. Hebrews 11:1, jot it down. Faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things that we cannot yet see. Circle the word yet. If it's in your Bible or if you just wrote it down, circle the word yet. It's going to come. God is going to reveal himself to you because of your faith. So when I started thinking about this scripture and started studying it, I like to read it over and over and over again. And I kind of looked at it and started thinking about the steps of faith that get us to this place of living this life for the Lord and seeing fruit in our lives. And what I pictured was a tree. So I don't know, do they already have paper? Okay, you all have a blank piece of paper, right? I have a big piece of paper because I'm the teacher today. I'm the teacher every day. Dang it. Just kidding. So I pictured a tree in my mind, and you're just going to have to follow me because we're going to get there, okay? What is the most important part of a tree? The roots. At the bottom of your page, draw some roots. Don't make fun of my roots. Focus on your own roots. So down here at the bottom is our roots. Yours probably look way more amazing than mine. Who's the artist out there who's sketching like realistic roots right now? Anybody? Debbie. Who? Debbie. Debbie, are you sketching realistic roots? I'll expect to see it by the end of the study. So down at the bottom of your roots, the most important part of our Christian walk is faith. So write faith in here. That's where it all begins. And you guys are lucky because the morning crew didn't even have this. I just told them to envision it in their mind. So you get to have visual aids because you've had a really long day. You're welcome. So look down at verse 16. Verse 16, after he talks about the law, if we claim in verse 14, I'll start there. So if we claim that God's promises for those who obey God's law and think they are good enough in God's sight, then you are saying that faith is useless. And in that case, the promise is also meaningless. So if you're saying that your good deeds are going to get you what you need, then you're saying faith is meaningless and God's gift is meaningless. The promise is meaningless. Verse 15, but the law brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. I didn't know, officer. I didn't know that that was the speed limit. Verse 16, that's why faith is the key. God's promise is given to us as a free gift, and we are certain to receive it, whether or not we follow Jewish customs, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. So the promise was given to Abraham, but those of us who are Gentiles also get to partake of this promise. Why? Because of our faith. So faith is the roots of all of it. The fact is, if you have no roots, you have no tree, right? If I look at that part right there in my yard and I say, I want a tree to go right there. I'd like a tree right there. And I just keep hoping that there's going to be a tree there. Am I going to receive a tree? Is a tree going to grow? What do I have to do? I have to plant it, right? I have to have faith. That's where it all begins. We have faith in this being, if you want to call him that for now, that's higher than us, that's all-knowing. Without faith, why would we do anything that we do? We wouldn't, right? Have you ever walked in a time of your life when you had no faith in God? Isn't it empty? I don't know how people get by without faith in God. I remember when I was walking away from the Lord, and you may have heard this story, but just pretend you haven't and smile at me. I was ready to go to confession, to confess. I'm not Catholic. I was not raised Catholic. I'm a Calvary kid. But I was in the parking lot of a Catholic church because I needed to get rid of my guilt somehow. And I had no idea where to go with it. But I was scared because I was like, there's got to be some connection back to my dad, and then my dad will hear all of my sins. And my dad's a pastor of the church, by the way, just in case you don't know. So I just didn't go because I thought somehow it would get back to my dad or people that I knew. So that's the life without faith. Nowhere to go with that sin. So if you don't plant a tree, you're not going to grow a tree. But so often we try to do the right things, right? We can read our Bible. We can come to church. We can sing songs during worship time. We can do all of that and not have any faith. We can do all of that because it makes us feel better about ourselves. And people do that all the time. So how can we be sure that we're different? Because the devil does not care that we're in this room right now. Honestly. I'm not saying that as like, let me explain, because you're all looking at me like this. Let me explain. If I'm sitting here in church and I'm just here because I'm supposed to, because it's Tuesday night and I said I was going to be here and it doesn't change me at all, that's exactly where the enemy wants me. Because I'm feeling really good about myself because I'm here. I'm checking it off my list. But until it starts to change my life, it doesn't even make him shudder. If I start changing things in my life and allowing the Lord to change me and mold me, he starts to get a little bit scared. So does that make sense? Yeah. Are you doubting me anymore? You're like, false prophet! The devil doesn't care if we're here. But you know what I'm saying, right? We can do all the right things with no faith. It doesn't make me a Christian just because I'm here. Insert the In-N-Out, you know, analogy you've heard. You're not a hamburger because you go to In-N-Out. Insert that if you'd like to. On the flip side of that, sometimes people don't want to have faith in God because he's wronged them in one way or another, or they feel like he forgot about him for a while. And they're not really ready to place their faith in someone again who has allowed them to be hurt. And maybe some of us here have been that person. And it's scary. It can be really scary to just throw yourself out there and say, I have faith. But we're going to get onto that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. At any rate, you can't be righteous or effective if you have no faith. That's where it starts. Faith, okay? Faith roots. Next, draw a trunk. Are you guys all right with this assignment right after you finished a long day? Excuse me. My tree is really disproportioned. Okay, in that trunk, write the word believe God. Those are words, two of them. Believe God. And then let's read verse 3 of Romans 4. The scripture tells us Abraham believed God, so God declared him righteous. Notice the difference. It doesn't say he believed in God, and he did. He believed in God, obviously, or he wouldn't have had faith. But it says he believed God. Let's look at it this way. Do you believe in me? Like, do you believe that I'm a real human? My name is Shannon Quintana. I'm a real human. Teresa has her doubts about me, so you should. Do you believe I'm a real person? I'm standing here in front of you. But if I said to Janice, I'm going to come to your house every Tuesday for the next 2 months, and I'm going to cook you a home-cooked meal so you can come here and not have to worry. Would you believe me? No. And you shouldn't, because I wouldn't. Because I can't even get dinner on the table for my own family. No, I'm like, there's eggs in the fridge and bread on the counter. Have breakfast for dinner. But do you see the difference? You can believe in God, but not believe a word he says. There's a big difference, right? Because just like there's people who come to church because it makes them feel better, there's a lot of people who believe in God, but they don't believe him. Do you see the difference? It's a small two-letter word, but it makes a big difference. We should believe in God. Yes, yes, we should. We believe that there is a creator over everything who created you and created me and this earth around us and created a plan for our entire life. But we should also believe the words that he says to us, the promises that he speaks over us. Make sense? Everybody's with me. Okay, got to make sure you guys are with me. So God has proven himself again and again to us. That's why we can believe what he says. So follow me for a minute. Have you walked through a time in your life? We all have. So you can just nod already, even though I haven't asked the question. All of us have gone through times in our lives where the Lord has been able to show us that he's strong and show us that when we are weak, he makes us strong in him, right? So if you look back at what God has walked you through in your life, his track record, if you will, it's pretty spotless, huh? Has he ever left you? Has he ever forsaken you? And the words of that song, Ocean, says, you've never failed and you won't start now. But this is where we stop. This is where the choice needs to be made. Are we going to believe what he says? Because I can believe in him, but I'm not going to get anywhere until I believe what he really says, that he is for me and not against me, that he has a plan for me, a future and a hope, that he hasn't forgotten about me. Have you ever felt like you've just fallen through the cracks? Like, hey, God, remember me? Because I sure don't feel like it. It's okay that you felt like that. But you get to be reminded by God. Yeah, I do see you. And this is for your good. It's painful sometimes, but God brings us through. And if we don't take the time to remember that track record, then we're not going to move forward at all. Because you can stop there if you want. You can believe in God. You can believe God. But if we don't take the next few steps that we're going to talk about, we're missing out on so much. If we stop at, yep, I believe in God and I believe what he says and I'm good right here, we're really going to miss out. Because the next step on this is our branch. So draw a big thick branch. As thick as you can get on your paper. Man, my tree is really stumpy. Inside that branch, write a five-letter word that starts with a T and ends with a T. I'll let you guess. Trust. Janice got it. Man, I should stop showing you guys my tree. I want to go over verses 20 and 21 really quick. Because when we believe what God says, it causes us to trust him. Verses 20 and 21 of chapter 4. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. He was absolutely convinced that God was able to do anything he promised. Do you believe that? I believe that. But do I always take steps that show my trust? No. Because I'm human. And I get scared and I forget the track record that we talked about. And I get thrown a curveball like Connie and Jim have right now. That's a little curveball, right? Have you had a curveball thrown at you? I'm not saying God's lobbing curveballs at all of us, but things come up in life where we're like, whoa, 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 wait a minute, God. I thought you said that I could trust you. And that's where we decide if we're going to go back to our trunk and believe that he means what he says and believe that his promises are true and that none of his promises go unmet. If he has made promises to you, trust he will answer them. If they're not answered yet, oh, he will. It might take years, but he will. The moment you've forgotten about those prayers that you've prayed and prayed, you're going to turn around and go, oh my gosh, the Lord totally answered that prayer and I forgot about that one. And he reminds us that we can trust him. The distance though, between believing and trusting can feel like an ocean, right? Because like I already said, going from believing to trusting takes what? Faith. From believing to trusting takes? Mm-hmm. It takes faith. Just imagine someone telling you to do what Abraham had to do. Imagine a person saying, hey, what I want you to do is take a knife and your son, who you love very much, and start walking up a mountain and I'll meet you there and I will provide the sacrifice. Would you be really trusting? Isn't that kind of scary? Aren't you glad God didn't ask you to do that? But sometimes it can feel like that in different ways in our life. And it's not to say that the sacrifices that we've had to make or the things that God has have asked us to do are any less than the things Abraham had to do. That's a big one. But there are things that we've been asked to do, maybe to quit our jobs and seek something else that the Lord is calling us to. Maybe to stay in a marriage that is not happy because God wants you to stay and be a light there. Equally as scary, if you ask me. Have you been there? Have you had something that the Lord has asked you to do in one way or another, and you're thinking, I don't want to? Anyone? Everybody? Thank you, Sandy. Yes. Sorry, I just totally revealed you. Sandy has. But honestly, there are things that the Lord asks us to do that are scary, and the leap between belief, believing that what he says is true, and trusting that he's going to be with me while I jump out here, that's a big gap. Speaking of gaps, when we went to New Zealand, I got to go to New Zealand and Australia for a conference to lead worship. I know it's a really hard job, but no, honestly though, when you trust the Lord, he leads you to places you never thought you would get to go to. So trust him, because really cool things are out there too, not only hard things. When we went to New Zealand, I told my husband, I said, I'm going bungee jumping, because bungee jumping started in New Zealand, and I've seen amazing videos of people bungee jumping. Have you seen the videos where they jump off the bridge and their head dips in the water? Doesn't that look fun? All right, who thinks it looks fun? Go ahead, raise your hand if you think it looks fun. We're taking a poll. Oh my gosh, girls, we are all alone. That's right, Joanne, you raised that hand high. Who thinks it doesn't look fun? I knew it. Well, I thought it looked really fun. So I was gonna bungee jump in New Zealand. So I didn't find the video today because I was knee deep in science projects. I have a video of this. I didn't get to go actual bungee jumping because they didn't have it over a bridge like I wanted. It was a crane that you had to jump off of. And it was just this place that was like an adventure place. Because New Zealand, it's all about adventure. Like everything is just enjoy life and just do it. Just have fun, you know. So they had this crane bungee jumping thing that didn't look quite as fun to me, but they also had this bungee swing thing. So basically, I know it sounds really fun. It's really fun. You'd love it. So you get in this kind of cocoon sleeping bag type thing where you're laying down, okay, like this, and you can go two or three people. My brother was there and my kids were there, so my brother went with my kids and loved it, and then we were after them, my husband and I. So we get strapped up into this thing, and then they slowly pull you all the way to the top of this crane, and then you have to pull your own cord, okay? You have to pull your own cord. So you get this sensation of the drop of the bungee, but instead of bouncing back up, you swing, and it's this huge, you've probably seen it at the fair sometimes, they do stuff like this, but it was way higher because it was in New Zealand. That's what I like to tell myself. I couldn't just do it at the fair. I did it in New Zealand. They took us all the way up in this thing, and we had to pull our own string, and it was amazing. Now, let's talk about the jump between belief and trust now, okay? Because I believed that that thing could hold my kids and my brother together, but it was a bit of a leap to let them be strapped into this thing and pulled way higher than they were, than I couldn't get to them. And then for me to jump into it. So my point is, the jump from belief, jump, I keep saying jump, but you'll remember it, bungee jumping, it's like belief to trust. The jump from belief to trust is way bigger, because you can believe that everything God says is true, but the moment he goes, okay, now will you trust me? Imagine that's the moment that you're strapping the bungee cord on, and you're trusting that that cord that you believed is going to hold you. That's a big difference, right? There's a big gap there. Have you been there? Lord, I believe you. I believe you. I'll do anything that you call me to do. Hold on a minute. Could we just like take a step back and maybe not do that one? Could we just do a baby trust test first? When my daughter, I'm homeschooling her this year, And she wanted to, she has been in love with horses since she was a little girl. And we've never even been around horses. I mean, her grandma and grandpa had a couple horses, but she went horseback riding with my aunt one day and came home with this brochure for this place that has a program for people with disabilities, where they get them up on horses and they have people who can hold up somebody who is not able to walk or sit up on their own. Like, it's amazing. I didn't even know it existed. She brings this brochure home and will not leave me alone. Does that ever happen? You're like, okay, I'm gonna call, I'm gonna check. Well, she would not let me forget about it. So I checked on it and we worked it out to where she can go. And I have to tell you, ladies, it scares the daylights out of me to have my daughter, not so much around horses now, but maybe riding a horse. Because all I can think about is her falling off and hitting her head or getting kicked in the head, all the things that can happen. All those things just plague my mind. It's a mom thing, I know. It's like I'm already at the graveside in half a second. It's bad. But I think about that because I thought, well, she goes, Mom, let's go to the stables today. And I'm all, oh, I don't have time to go to the stables. I'm like, okay, we'll go to the stables. So we go to the stables and we get to just walk around. And I look like a fish out of water because I'm in my shorts and my flip-flops, you know, and everybody is in boots and jeans. And so I'm learning the way to dress when I go around the stables. But we're petting the horses and she's showing me how you kind of ask them if you can pet them. And we walk up to this one, and I kid you not, his shoulders were up here. And I was all, oh, no, we're not doing this. My daughter is not going to be riding on horses if they're that big. But guess what? The Lord is asking me to trust him. And I know some of you are like, big deal. Your daughter wants to ride a horse. Get over it. For me, it's a big deal because I tell my kids they're 12 and 13, and they're getting to the age where they need more freedom, and I know that. But I tell them, you have to remember, your whole life, it's been my job to keep you alive. And now, I have to let you guys go a little bit. I have to let them find their way back to the junior high room without me walking them there. And find their way back to me without me going to get them. Little bits of trust that I need to let them have. And it kills me sometimes because I'm like, are they coming yet? I don't see them. Should I go to the junior high room? I don't see them back yet, you know? Is she okay? I'm thinking about leaving her at this place where the horses are, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna be there for a good month before I'm gonna leave you anywhere. That's just being smart though, right? 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 Okay. I just wanna make sure I have some support from my friends. I'm kind of off topic, but that's okay. I was talking about trust. Trust takes time to build. And if you've ever been involved in a situation where a trust has been broken or you have broken trust, you know how long it takes to build that trust back up. And sometimes it can't be rebuilt. Sometimes it just can't. And if your heart has been broken because you trusted someone and they squashed that, don't let that affect the way that you trust God. Because there is no one on this earth who will love you and lead you and guide you the way that God will. There is no one who will hold your heart so perfectly. Because our hearts can be broken, because the minute that you love someone or you trust someone, you're really giving them your heart and saying, please be careful with it. And sometimes they're just not. And sometimes we're not. I'm guilty of not being trustworthy. I know what it's like to have to rebuild trust, to rebuild someone else's trust in you. It sucks, but it's worth it. Allow God to remind you that he is trustworthy. Allow him to remind you of his track record, because jumping can be really scary. Not just bungee jumping. Either jumping in one way or another. I don't even mean like the quitting your job is kind of a big one because you need to be able to pay for that house you live in and the food that you want to have on your table. What if your jumping is staying in a relationship that you do not want to be in anymore? I have a friend who was involved in a relationship. She was married and it was not a good marriage. It was not a loving marriage. It was not a physically abusive marriage, but it was not a good marriage. And you know what? She stayed. Why? Because she believed it was what God wanted her to do. What do you think her unsaved friends thought? She's crazy. Just leave. Why are you staying? We love you. We want you to be happy. But she got to have an opportunity to be a light to her friends, to say, all I can say is I believe this is what I'm supposed to do. And she may never know the impact that she had on those friends. She may never know. One of them may come to know Jesus because of her faith in God, because of her desire to do what was right and to trust him. So jumping may not always be going to do something crazy. It may be staying when you really want to go. And you know what? If you're staying where you know you're supposed to be, know that God is holding your heart. And if that person that you're with, married to, is not ready to hold your heart yet, wait until they are. And please understand that I am not saying if you're in an abusive marriage, you should not be there. Is everybody clear with me on that one? I want to make sure you all know that I'm not like, just stay and tough it out. No. You need to be safe. But if you're in a loveless marriage, allow God to show you how much he can love you when you're very unloved. Okay? I don't know where that's coming from, but jumping is scary, but when you jump, you allow God to show you how big he really is. And after you jump, you get to see all that you would have missed out on if you hadn't jumped. Because when I jumped and did my bungee thing, I would have missed out on this amazing view. Have you ever seen Lord of the Rings? Filmed in New Zealand. Gorgeous green rolling hills. I mean, untouched. If I had not jumped, I would not have been able to see all that the Lord had for me out there. And if I hadn't jumped in my own life in the different ways that he's called me to, I wouldn't be where I am now. And I'm not saying I'm amazing and I'm so full of faith and I never falter, but I can see the ways that he's grown me through those times. And I look back at those times of obedience that seemed so hard then, and I can say, gosh, they just don't seem that big anymore because you see where he's brought you, right? Let's move on. So from trusting, God leads us. We've believed him, right? We've had faith in him. We've believed that he means what he said. Now we've trusted, and our trust leads us to obey. So draw like a smaller branch or a twig, or if there's a technical term, you can call it that if you want to. The one that the fruit grows on. That's a sneak peek for the next one. So we've got our roots, faith. Our trunk is believing God, trusting God. Now we're going to obey God. Because all of those things lead us to obey God. This is where our deeds come in. Remember how I said before you can come to church and sit and read and pray and do all those things, and it could have nothing to do with faith? This is where this obedience, those things we're going to do, are rooted in the right place. We're not doing them because we think God's going to be really happy with us. We're doing them because we've looked back at his track record, and it makes us want to obey him more. Are you with me there? Does that make sense? So now they mean something because of where they came from. Make sense? From the roots all the way up. Once we find that God is trustworthy, it makes obeying easier. It doesn't make it less painful, but it makes it easier because we can say, this one's crazy, God, but all right. I remember the hardest decision in my life saying, okay, Lord, it's you and me. I trust you. I hadn't even been walking with the Lord. And I decided it was time to be really real about where I had been and what I had done. And all I knew was that God's kindness leads me to repentance. And I repented because I had been taught that when you come to God, he hears you, he loves you, and he forgives you. Did that make that choice really easy? No. But I knew God was with me, and that was all I knew, and that was all I needed to know. I didn't need to worry. Think about Abraham again, because obeying can be scary. Having absolutely no idea what was going to happen when he was walking up that mountain with his son. The Bible doesn't say that he was like, and when you get there, by the way, I'm going to find an animal, and I'm going to, just don't worry about your son. No, there was no PS, don't worry about anything. It was do this, and he did it. And we don't read anywhere that he went, oh Lord, wait a second, are you sure? Because this is the son that you gave me. No, he just did it because he trusted God. He believed God, having absolutely no idea. Have you ever had to just obey God having absolutely no idea? Raise your hand if you have. Look around, keep them up. Look around in this room because I want you guys to remember that you're not alone. Because so often we isolate ourselves and we think, I'm the only one who's having to make this really difficult choice. You're not. Seek out those women that you can pray with and say, the Lord is asking me to do this thing and I'm really struggling with it. Can you just pray with me? Seek them out. I was talking about my friend whose friends thought she was crazy for staying and that it gave her an opportunity to show that she trusted in God. And that was all she could tell them because they didn't really understand the track record of God. They didn't really understand the faith that she had and the fact that she believed everything he said. And a lot of people would look at that as blind obedience. But it's not blind obedience. It's obedience based on trust, based on what God has already done in the past. We can bank on the fact that anything God asks us to do will be for our good. Doesn't his word say that? Romans 8:28 says what? All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You are called according to his purpose. And if you love him, then all things will work together for the good. Have you seen that in your own life? I know I ask you guys a lot of questions, but have you seen that in your own life? I have. Things that I said, this is not good. God has used it for something. And I bet Connie and Jim are already seeing how God is using this sickness, this surgery issue that Jim is going through for good. I can't wait to hear her stories. She's gonna have stories, I just know it. So my challenge to you is if you're listening to this thing and you're saying, well, I mean, she's talking about having to take a jump and really trust and obey. Like, I've never really had to do that, you know. Maybe it's because you're not heeding God's voice. Maybe he is asking you to do something, but you just are like, I don't hear that. Maybe you have, like I said before, a really hard time trusting. Because your trust has been broken. But let me remind you again that whether you've been let down by someone before or not, God is the only one on this earth that you can ever trust to lead you, guide you, give you new vision, give you new passion, give you a future and a hope. He'll give you new heart and new desires, and he will do all he has promised. He will. Do you believe me? See, we've gone from believing in me to believing me. See, we've grown so much in this last amount of time. But you have to obey. We can't just say, I want all your promises, God, right here, rain down on me. We got to take all these steps that we've already gone through. Because if we go from faith, believing God, trusting and obeying, guess what we're going to have? Just guess. Fruit. Draw whatever fruit you want. It can be a passion fruit. It could be a dragon fruit if you're really good at drawing. Laura and I were in Vietnam together, so we know what a dragon fruit plant looks like, huh? It's pretty amazing. See, my fruit is the best looking thing on this whole paper. That's what counts anyway. I didn't even write fruit on it. So the fruit that we read about in this chapter is what? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. God rewards our faith, the thing that started it all, the thing that started our tree, where our tree grew from, God rewards it. And these rewards are not just for Abraham, they're for us too. We get to be righteous. Look at the word righteousness as being right before a God that we have no right to stand before. I'm gonna say that again. Righteousness is being right before a God that we have no right to stand before. Because without Jesus' sacrifice, we would not be able to come into the presence of God. Without Jesus' sacrifice, we would not be able to come and worship the Lord because we're unclean. Is anybody really clean today? Like you didn't sin at all today? Okay, so we're all the same. Because our sin, excuse me, completely separated us from him. I've always looked at the separation of us and God, the sin that separates us, as a wall. But I was talking to my husband the other day and thinking that it's more like headphones. Like I've chosen to put on noise-canceling headphones. God is talking to me, but I've got my headphones on and I've got my eyes closed. And I'm like, I can't hear you. That's what sin does. It separates us from God, and there's no way that we could be right with him. But thanks be to God that he wiped away that separation, right? And now we're all seen as right. And it all started with faith. Faith. Then we believed God. We trusted God. We obeyed God. And we received this fruit of righteousness and all the residuals too. All the other blessings that God gives us, but the most important is that righteousness, the ability to be able to stand before him as pure and clean. God's righteousness levels the playing field. I always say that sin levels the playing field because it reminds us all that regardless of how bad my sin might be compared to yours, it's all the same in God's eyes. Well, so does righteousness. Righteousness, God's righteousness does the same thing. If we have faith and we believe in God, it makes us the same in his eyes. Isn't that nuts? We get to be the same in God's eyes as David and Abraham, all those people you read about in the Word. Do you believe the Bible's true? Because the Bible says that our faith in God is imputed to us as righteousness. But we all needed Jesus' blood to make us allowed to stand before a holy God. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned, but because of Jesus, we are declared not guilty. That's the New Living Translation. That's why I love it so much, because it says it so clearly. Because of Jesus, we are declared not guilty. And I have to tell you, ladies, this is where I struggle. I'm just going to close with this. I struggle with the fact that I am clean before God, because the enemy loves to beat me up and remind me of how unclean I was before I came to God. When I broke my flat iron this afternoon, the enemy liked to remind me of how unclean and unworthy and unable I was to come and speak to you tonight. Because that's what the devil does, right? He wants us to not feel any sort of confidence in the ability that God gives us, using the gifts that God has given us. But I struggle with the fact that I'm right in his eyes, and I have a hard time seeing myself the way that he sees me. Share that with somebody. Like, what you struggle with, share it with somebody. Because I tell people that, and they're like, really? I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. All the time. The enemy loves to beat me up and remind me of my past. And I have to fight with that. Because sometimes I'll just get there and I'll stay. You're right, I am. I'll just stop doing all the things I do. But if I believe God, I need to believe what he says. And what he says is that I'm righteous and that I am pure and holy, and I get to stand before him because of Jesus' sacrifice. Close with this verse, Romans 4, 7, and 8. And I know I've jumped all around that chapter, but I figured you guys studied it backwards and forwards. Romans 4, 7, and 8. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. That's a big deal. If we have faith in God, then we'll believe what he says. And if we believe what he says, we will trust him. And as we see him being trustworthy in our lives and having this amazing trustworthy track record, we will obey him and we'll take a leap. And if we obey him, he will bring fruit in our lives. Having faith in God makes us righteous. But all of these steps lets us have that ability to have that amazing life. Remember how I started out and I said, you can believe God and stop right there. Think about all you'd miss out on if you stopped right there and you didn't trust and you didn't obey. And then you didn't get to see the fruit that God was going to bring if you would have kept on going. So allow God to breathe new faith into you. If that's what you need tonight, is just a new filling of faith from him, He is so faithful to bring it to you because he wants you to be able to walk on. He wants to re-energize you to get going again. So let's pray that God does that for us tonight. Would you please pray with me? God, we come before you, Lord, and we're just thankful for who you are, Lord. We thank you for the track record that you've had in our lives. We thank you for the way that you have proven yourself trustworthy, Lord, for the trials and the troubles that you have brought us through, for the leaps of faith that you have challenged us to take. And I pray, God, that we would accept those challenges, that we would be all in for you, that we would go after, Lord, whatever it is you've called us to, that it would be not difficult for us to strap that rope on and jump. Or Lord, if you're calling us to stay, I pray for those women right now that you have called to stay. Lord, would you fill their hearts with your peace? Would you fill their hearts with your love? Remind them that you hold their heart until their husband is able to hold it again safely and securely. And Lord, I pray that you would go before us because each and every woman in this room comes in carrying her own burdens. And Lord, I pray that she would not leave carrying them again. But I pray, Lord, that we would lay them down at your feet. I pray against the enemy wanting to attack us and remind us of who we were and what we're not capable of apart from you, Lord. Help us to remember what we are capable of because of you. I pray, Lord, that it would make us people who are fearless, that we would obey even when it's crazy, that we would walk even when we can't see. We thank you, God, that we can trust you. We thank you that you make us righteous to stand before you as pure and clean with these people that we only read about in books, in the good book, in the Bible. I thank you, Lord, that you see us as righteous. Lord, help us to remember that. Would you remind us that we're pure in your sight? Would you help us to live as women who truly are set free, like we sang before? Lord, because sometimes we don't feel free and we don't feel righteous. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember that. When we're doubting, fill us with your faith, God. Fill us with your faith that makes us believe your words, that makes us trust you and obey you. And Lord, I pray that you would bring great fruit in each and every life here, Lord, that the world would see that there is something different. And God, I pray that you go before these women in their small groups, Lord. Help them to be real about where they're at. If they're hurting, help them to speak up, Lord, that we could be the body of Christ that comes alongside and lifts the other up when they need it, Lord. And I thank you so much again for this time, and I pray that you would go before us now as we go to our groups. In Jesus' name, amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up, hands up, hands up, all believers,
take up your cross and carry it all.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.